You're listening to the One of Us.net Podcast Network.
They're back together again.
Hello, and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. I am your host, Jeff Bear. This is my co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello, welcome to the show. I'm Eric D. Snyder. That's my co-host, Jeff Bear. Welcome to One and All, to episode 346. What are you drinking over there?
I just have some sparkling water. It's grapefruit sparkling water, but then I do have a little kicker. Do you hear that?
I do hear that.
That's whiskey talking.
Yep. All right. It wasn't as interesting as I thought it might be.
you saw the clear liquid. Were you thinking it was Sprite?
What?
And that would have been exciting?
Well, no, I thought it was just water, which would have been interesting because you don't usually drink water. But then it was sparkling grapefruit water,
At
that point, it's not water. Then it's like a flavored. It's not soda because there's not.
No.
It's not really a soda, but it's definitely not just water.
No, it's sparkling water.
With grapefruit flavor.
Right.
Water doesn't have a flavor. Water is water flavored. As soon as there's another flavor, it's not water anymore. I'm sorry. Those are the rules.
So water has no flavor.
I mean, it tastes like water, but yeah.
Exactly. So
nothing.
It has a flavor.
Okay. But if it tastes like anything other than water, then it's not water anymore.
I'm not upset with the fact that I'm drinking this.
I'm not
enjoying
either. It. I'm just saying
it seems
it's not
like
water.
You are.
No.
Can we get past this and possibly talk about movies for our fans and listeners and people that accidentally downloaded and are now listening to this show?
Yes, but first we have to have an iTunes review, which I'm going to read in old-timey voice.
Because that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. This is written by one AP Music Man, and the subject is, "Great reviews, hilarious jokes. I've followed Eric D. Snyder for years and have always appreciated his funny, insightful criticism of movies and pop culture. I also appreciate his wit, as well as his assertion that since movies are entertaining, movie reviews should be too. This podcast is no different. Snyder is always informative, funny, and insightful." Wait for it.
Oh, no.
"Plus, the man has a memory for details that is a little mind-boggling." That wasn't it. Here we go.
You're just like, wait, I have one more compliment. You're going to enjoy listening, Jeff.
"In Jeff Bear, he's found a co-host that compliments him perfectly. I didn't know about Jeff before this podcast, but I'm glad I do now. Bear's commentary is spot on, and he never comes across as pretentious or fussy. But I think what I like most about Bear is that his logic is impeccable. He has good reasons for loving or hating a movie, and he articulates them well. With his whip-smart co-host, the two make for an engaging and entertaining listen. This is my favorite movie podcast by a long ways, and I hope they continue for a long time."
Who is that again?
AP Music Man.
AP Music Man, I like the cut of your jib.
Yeah. Thanks, AP Music Man.
That's good stuff.
That is very nice. I don't know his real name, but I recognize the name AP Music Man as someone who has been following my writing and stuff for a long time. He's a long time Snyderite.
Nice. Is that what they are? Snyderites?
Sure. I'm glad he's on the Bayer train now too. Choo choo! All aboard the Bayer train.
I like trains.
So, yes, if you write us a review on iTunes, we'll read it on the show in old-timey voice.
We will. You know, I might have a Batman, but I think it's a bad Will Arnett Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. I might have one now because I've been, like, ever since – okay, news alert, people. Mm-hmm, I took Dylan to his first movie theater experience, and it couldn't have gone sweeter or better for me. Eric was nice enough to watch the other one. What's his name? Max.
Max, yep.
The one that's only one and does practically nothing. I took him to a 10:30 a.m. showing of the Batman Lego movie, and it couldn't have.
It seemed like it was very adorable.
It was just so adorable. And I'm so happy I waited because it was like, part of me was like, do I need to wait this long? But I didn't need to. And it worked out wonderfully for me. And I'm very happy about it. And it's a memory I will always have. And maybe he'll have it too. But since then, I've been talking to him on occasion as Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And there we go. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm glowing right now.
It was very adorable. And he was not one of those kids who during the movie was going, Daddy, why is Batman doing that? Daddy, who is that guy? Daddy, why did he say that?
The credits started and then he did that. He was just like, Daddy, is the movie over? I think the movie's over. Are we only watching one movie? Because, like, you know, you have to explain to him, like, this doesn't pause.
Right, we can't pause this, you can go to the bathroom. Concept.
Right. There's going to be other people watching, and if they're talking, they're wrong.
Right.
That doesn't mean you get to talk. So we established rules for all of that stuff. At one point, he did have – he was sitting in his booster because I didn't know if the theater would have boosters, whatever. And it has a cup holder that can fold up and fold down, and he was accidentally flipping it up and flipping it down. Like once during the movie without realizing it.
Right.
I simply put his hand on it. He stopped. He didn't do it again. Nice. He's going to be a very good sidekick for the movie theater, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
That is adorable. It's very sweet. I was glad you were able to take him to see that movie.
On with the show.
All right. We have a couple of movies to talk about. One movie we're not talking about is The Great Wall with Matt Damon because we didn't see it in time.
And that's it. That's the only reason.
Yeah, and it's really, it's, I mean, they screened it. They're screening it Wednesday night, so they're not hiding it or anything. We just, I'm traveling, and, you know, you'd have to get a sitter, and
Yeah.
It's not worth
it. It'd be a lot of work.
Yeah. But we do have reviews of two other movies. First of the movies that we're saying is this one called Fist Fight. This has that Charlie Day, that popular comic actor Charlie Day.
That's right. It's got a little Charlie Day and a little Ice Cube.
Actually, it's a lot of both of them, not a little.
That's true. A lot of Charlie Day, and it could have used, well, we'll get to that.
I don't know if it could. Well, all right. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and other things. And this was directed by a fellow I'm not familiar with named Richie Keene, but who directed many episodes or 11 episodes of It's Always Sunny. Mm-hmm. So he and Charlie Day go way back, I guess.
And Charlie Day can definitely have some moments here that are showcased quite well with his comedic abilities.
The deal is he and Ice Cube are high school teachers. It's the last day of school, and the students are just in open rebellion.
It's senior prank day to the extreme. Like, there's porn playing on a computer.
Openly watching porn in the hallways.
There's just F-bombs and not only just like taking a parking spot, but it goes beyond anything that would be logical. So you know what kind of world you're in.
Kind of, yeah. It's sort of. It's a little cartoonier than real life. I get a kick out of everyone openly swearing. Teachers and students alike all just swearing like sailors.
I don't know.
I'm amused by it up to a point, but then also this movie felt like a lot of the swearing felt forced.
Totally.
Did it feel that way to you? That's how you know when it's gratuitous, when you notice it. Well, when you're like, that sentence was fine without adding the F word to it as a descriptor.
Do you know how good and impactful an F-bomb would have been had it not been filled for the movie? But then in that one moment where Charlie Day like grabs a kid because he's finally at his breaking point.
That's true.
And yeah. Lays into him, then that would have meaning. But when you have, I would probably say, 40 F-bombs
40,
at least?
40,000.
Okay, 40,000. There
40,
we go.
40? Did you say 40?
I don't.
Oh, there's got to be. There's got to be a hell of a lot more than that. If the movie's 90 minutes. I would guess there were two per minute on average.
Really?
It felt like a lot, but whatever.
It was, it was extreme. And purposeless.
Well, yeah, because the way they would usually use it, and this is the lazy way, is if I'm going to say, there's no way I'm doing that, and they would just add an effing in front of way. There's no effing way I'm doing that. Lots of things like that where it's just that as a qualifier that doesn't mean anything.
And he, with the situation of being in a school and being around kids and being a principal or being a teacher – there is a certain logic where you would at least attempt not to do that.
Yeah.
So in breaking that code, you better hope it's really funny.
Well, yeah, I have no problem breaking that code if it's funny, and it was at first, but then, yeah, it wore thin as I realized that was all they were doing. But Charlie Day is an English teacher, and Ice Cube is a really mean history teacher. And
everybody's intimidated by him. Everyone, students and teachers alike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At first, I thought he was the principal. At first, Ice Cube.
He held a bat. And then you remember that movie called Principals, where Louis Gossett Jr. and James Belushi held bats. So then you were like, okay,
That movie was definitely called Principals. Yeah,
was it Vice Principals?
There was an HBO series called Vice Principals. Isn't that movie called Stand and Deliver?
No, that's a good one.
What's the other one? Besides Stand and Deliver, would also have baseball bats.
I don't think we
should
get lost in this.
Okay, anyway, good point. Yeah, it was power through it.
Let listeners be annoyed that we can't remember that.
We'll power through it. Yes. But anyway, they're teachers, and there's a bit of a kerfuffle. The Ice Cube, Strickland, kind of freaks out. And this is where the movie started to lose me from a logical standpoint, because he really freaks out in a class, and then he might lose his job over it. And he winds up, he challenges Campbell, Charlie Day, to a fist fight. Good old-fashioned after-school fist fight.
In a sense, you can say he squealed on him. It was that thing where
that,
I was like...
In that Strickland took an axe to a student's desk in a full classroom, so there were 30 witnesses. So I don't feel like the movie really addressed the issue of why they needed Charlie's testimony to indict him when everyone saw it happen.
I don't need to investigate. It feels like nobody that wrote this screenplay spent a lot of time in classrooms. That's what it feels like.
I guess. Yeah, that
because,
could be it.
Because you could find a better way, again, kind of more plausible, but still funny or extreme or whatever the case may be.
Lean on Me. It was called Lean on Me with the bat.
That's Morgan Freeman, isn't it?
I don't know if he's in it, but that's the movie with the bat.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Morgan Freeman is in it, and Louis Gossett Jr. is in Stand and Deliver.
Oh, well, then it was Stand and Deliver.
I don't think there was a movie called Principals. I'm sorry. There could be.
Wait, what about Nick Nolte? He was a teacher once. Was that called Principals?
Well, let's see. No, the Nick Nolte movie was called Teachers.
Okay.
Close.
Okay, please stop. All right. So we don't have any character development with Ice Cube. We get a flashback of
people wondering
who he might be.
Yeah, lots of stories
about his past. So any hint of spending time with him, it's very one note, very waiting for him to do something crazy. And then by that rationale, the end with the third act, where you kind of get a sense of something inevitable is happening down the way that's going to kind of not necessarily bury the hatchet, as it were. But anyway, it just feels humanize him. Yes, it feels weak. Tracy Morgan, it's great to see him on the big screen as Coach Crawford. Like, because, you know, we didn't know if we'd get more Tracy Morgan.
He almost died, yeah.
Yeah. Was he batting 300 with his joke attempts, maybe?
Let's make a list of the extraneous characters in this movie. There's by extraneous, I mean characters who serve no function in the plot whatsoever.
Right.
There's Tracy Morgan as a coach. You got Christina Hendricks as the French teacher.
You got to pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back. Let's bring up Jillian Bell first as Holly.
Well, we can't go back because we didn't get to her first. What about Christina Hendricks?
I was thinking in order, though. Well, Christina Hendricks, the joke here is that she wishes true, significant violence on Charlie Day's character.
Because she misunderstands the situation and thinks he's a perv.
And she's clearly deranged.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the story. Her wanting more harm to come to him doesn't result in any more harm coming to him. She's just someone else who doesn't like him.
I agree with the logic that you're doing. I'm just saying if we're talking about Christina Hendricks, we have to talk about how her whole character is such a waste of time and illogical and not funny.
I believe I used the word extraneous.
In comparison to Jillian Bell.
She's the guidance counselor and sort of...
She's the guidance counselor who's a perv for high school boys.
She's trying to hit on the boys.
And that... That is a lot of uncomfortable good humor.
That's funny.
That comes out of that. And the difference there is That has something to do with something in high school. This Christina Hendricks character wanting to like hurt people with a knife just does not
or
make
hurt
sense.
People want hurt one specific person. Yeah,
right. But like, it's just a waste. Just a waste.
Kumail Nanjiani plays the campus security guard. He's got one scene where he's sort of involved in the story, but not really. They didn't need that character. Dennis Haysbert, President Palmer from 24. First of all, he gets. Did he have third billing? No, he had lower billing. Tracy Morgan gets third billing after Ice Cube and Charlie Day. Tracy Morgan, third billing. Amazing. But Dennis Haysbert has one scene. Just sort of extra people. Not really doing anything. The main thing, Charlie Day has a wife who's pregnant. And she thinks he's kind of a coward. It all is set up very much like a sitcom where Campbell never stands up for himself, and then the teacher challenges him to a fight. He's going to try to find a way out of the fight. He's going to realize his wife thinks he's a chicken, so he's got to do the fight. He's going to stand up for himself. Everyone's going to learn a lesson, blah, 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 which is fine. And the movie is mostly fine. It's fitfully funny.
I would definitely say as soon as you think, well, I'm done laughing, they've exhausted me, they get you. And either that's Jillian Bell doing her thing or Charlie Day going extreme on occasion.
Or Campbell's little girl that has to do a talent show thing at her school that he's got to get there in time.
Or a final fight that is pretty well filmed. A final fight between Ice Cube and Charlie Day. It looks good. There's some crazy things that happen during it. And that's quite entertaining. So you're waiting for that moment. But that moment, I think, pays off pretty well. And I do think Charlie Day, like, there's a lot of fat here that could have been trimmed, or he could have had more of a purpose with everything that he said. But otherwise, I really liked watching him in this movie. Like, he was good.
I think he's okay. He kept seeming reined in. He's very reined in from his usual crazy Charlie Day demeanor. And I noticed the parts of this movie that I liked where I liked him the best when he was starting to get exasperated and started to get fed up and crazy. When he was being mild-mannered and normal and smart. That's another thing. Charlie Day is very good at playing imbeciles. Seeing him play a normal smart guy, it's not that he's typecast. It's that I didn't find him as funny. I didn't find him nearly as funny.
He's better at Clueless. I can see that.
Yeah, and he's more of the straight man in this. But I enjoyed him more as he was getting more and more upset and more freaked out. But he's fine. He's good. I think overall they kept saying things that I thought, well, that's almost funny.
I totally kept liking it enough. I give Fist Fight a 6 out of 10.
I give it a B minus. It's still recommendable, but not very.
Yeah, it's one of those that save it from when you're sitting on the couch at home, and you can't figure out what to watch, and then you just are like, what the heck? And then I think you'll enjoy yourself okay.
With no expectations.
Right.
And then the other new movie this weekend, which I saw, but you didn't. You're out of town or something. Some garbage.
Sometimes it could be said that, you know, it would be because I'd be too scared. Not this time.
No. A Cure for Wellness, directed by Gore Verbinski.
Did
you not know that? Yeah, Gore Verbinski. No. How many movies would you say Gore Verbinski has directed, including this one?
7.
10.
10?
10. This is his 10th. He directed 3 Pirates of the Caribbeans and The Lone Ranger, but also The Ring, Rango, and Mouse Hunt. That was his first movie, Mouse Hunt. Also, Underseen Gems, The Mexican and The Weatherman. Remember The Mexican with Brad Pitt
and Julia Roberts
and The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage?
And James Gandolfini in The Mexican. Mm-hmm. And The Weatherman, Nicolas Cage and Tia Leone?
Maybe. Right. And that's such a mixed bag of movies there. Some really good ones and some really ones that I didn't care for. And what's interesting, it's hard to pin...
Rango's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to pin down who Gore Verbinski is. Like, what kind of movies does he want to make?
Ooh, are you about to tell me?
Well, I always hoped it was horror. Who is he? Because of The Ring. I love The Ring and because his first name is Gore. That would be awesome if he's into horror movies. But maybe I was right, because The Cure for Wellness, he co-wrote the story, so this is apparently something from his brain. And it is a horror film, and it's got a lot of the kind of horror symbolism and imagery that the Ring had. It's not as tight or as nightmarish.
I just saw the running time.
Yeah.
Is that right?
2 hours and 26 minutes. Yeah, it's a long one.
That's for real?
That's for real.
Jeez.
But it's mostly pretty good. He squeezes a lot of mystery out of it.
This has nothing to do with your infatuation with the lead actor.
No, I'm over that. Dane DeHaan. I used to have a crush on him, but not anymore.
You guys broke up?
Yeah. Well, this movie had something to do with it.
Oh.
He looks like a young Leonardo DiCaprio, which makes this film seem even more like Shutter Island than it would otherwise.
Okay.
And he plays a man named Lockhart, who's a young Wall Street hotshot who gets sent to Switzerland to this exclusive spa where the CEO has gone on a vacation and is now refusing to come back. And so they're sending Lockhart go to retrieve and bring him back to business. So he goes off, and this Lockhart guy, he's got bags under his eyes, and he's already chomping Nicorette gum. He's like this, like really into the whole Wall Street money thing, which is hard to buy when he looks like he's 20 years old. And that kind of is a problem with the movies, that I wish that the main character had more like life experience and world weariness. Mm-hmm. But he gets to this spa, and there's lots of other titans of industry, tycoons and fancy people there. It's where people go to recover from the fact that they're working themselves to death, basically.
Okay.
Jason Isaacs plays the head of the facility, Dr. Vollmer, and he's super cagey about the details of what treatments go on here. And the staff are all super polite and like Stepford Wives, but they're also really good at preventing visitors from seeing the patients.
Isaacs was really good in The OA, that TV show on Netflix that I just watched.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him there.
I like him. And he's good and creepy as sort of a, mm-hmm. as a doctor here in this movie where you're not sure what his motives are. Lots of mystery. And what works really well about the film is that while the mystery, once everything is explained, it is very simple and disappointingly so in some ways. It kind of winds up going where it seems like it was going. Which is fine, but, you know, no big surprises. But yeah. Along the way, Verbinski really milks all the mystery out of it. There's lots of unsettling details. Some of them seem kind of random, like we see a cow abortion. There's some eels. There's a lot of eels in one situation.
Okay.
There's a missing tooth. So, lots of things that...
Are you saying does he clear up all loose ends, or does he leave all of them just... No, that was weird, wasn't it?
No, there are some things that are weird, and I don't know that it's ever really logically explained why those things are. But it kind of works, because that's how nightmares are.
Mm-hmm.
But then also kind of just seems maybe just a lazy writing device. It's like, oh, this will be creepy. Is there a good reason for it? No, but it's creepy. So there's kind of a mix between the two. But Lockhart learns more about the history of this facility and the weird... incestuous founder who started it, whose motto was purity before wellness. Purity before wellness. What does that mean?
Purity. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Hmm.
IMDb listed as a mystery thriller.
Yeah.
Is it horror first or not at all?
I would guess it has a lot of horror symbolism, lots of horrific imagery and things that you normally find in horror movies. But the story, no, is more of a mystery thriller.
Okay. And the only reason I'm thinking that is like I can't think of a horror movie that's 2.5 hours long.
There aren't
like
a lot.
That would be referred to as like an epic horror movie, which I don't know if that's been done.
It's a long time to be scared. I really enjoy the best things about the film are learning more about the backstory of the place and how they're doing things now. And again, lots of little ornate details, like the CEO who's holed up in here and won't come out, sent invitations to all the board members, invited them to come to the spa. These handwritten invitations in envelopes sealed with wax, like little details like that.
That
make it seem mysterious and gothic and big, and there's a big conspiracy. And the place, the spa, is nice and ominous, especially once Lockhart agrees to go along with some of the treatments. Oh, he gets injured. And so he has to stay there a little bit longer. And then he agrees to some of the treatments, you know, when in Rome, might as well. And so then now once he's got the fog of paranoia and the medication that Vollmer gives him, the place seems even scarier and creepier. And it's good. It is too long. I mean,
I would have to imagine.
It is too long, but I was really into it for most of it, and I enjoy the darkness. I think a lot of people will not like this movie very much at all because it's bleak, and there's not necessarily like a lovable. There are no lovable characters. Lockhart is fine, like we support him, but he's
nobody you want to necessarily go on an adventure with. Yeah, which is normally something that I look for. So the third act is a little bit more disappointing in comparison to the first act.
I wouldn't say the whole act is disappointing, but the revelation of everything is slightly disappointing. Again, just because it's kind of where you thought it was going. But the details, plenty of details are appropriately creepy. And it is overall solid, and I give it a B, A Cure for Wellness.
A Cure for Wellness gets a B.
Again, I really think people are not going to like this movie.
Is there one particular thing that you're like, there was this moment, no, I think everybody's going to turn up? No?
No, okay. I mean, there's a few things in it that added up might be too much for people, and the general bleakness of the story and all, I think, will turn a lot of people off, plus the length. Like, you pay a sitter, you go to the movies, you spend 2.5 hours, and you come out of it feeling like, oh, that was creepy. That was icky. Like, I can see people not being into that. So I guess we'll see. Anyway, but I liked it. And I'm the one that matters. And now a word from our sponsor. I sure do like Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
You do?
I said I sure do.
Enough to pay $5 a show?
What? No, don't be stupid.
How about $1 a show?
Now that's a fair price.
Great. Go to moviebs.com, click on the Patreon link, and pledge $1 a show. Then Jeff and Eric will know that you sure do like them.
That'll make me feel good.
They don't care.
And now, back to the show. Hey, some movies came out on DVD this week.
Yeah, some movies did.
Nothing great.
One was good.
Oh, yeah. Actually, a couple of them were good. Bleed for This, where Miles Teller was a boxer. That wasn't very good, right?
No, it wasn't very good. It had some boxing moments. Pretty generic. Because it was a boxing movie about boxing. But no.
And Christine, which I really liked. That's right. You were lukewarm on Christine.
I was lukewarm.
I really liked it with Rebecca Hall as...
Rebecca Hall is worthy of whatever praise that she gets from this performance. But that's how I felt. It was just that.
Yeah, the story of Christine Chubbuck, Florida TV news reporter in real life who had a tragic thing, a scary thing, a creepy thing.
Yes, very.
And I really enjoyed the movie building up to it and seeing her mental faculties fall apart. But to each his own. Mm-hmm. And then what else? Oh, Edge of 17.
That's the good one. Yeah.
You did see that finally.
I did eventually see it. I don't know if I don't know if I eventually give a score for the.
I don't think we talked about it. Do you have a score? I can add it to the database if need be.
What did you give it?
Like a B plus, I think.
8 out of 10.
Oh, it's BS approved. Retroactive. Yeah, you know what else is on DVD this week? DVD this week. A movie called Arrival. Space aliens and Amy Adams.
That's finally coming out this week.
Tis, as we speak, this very moment, it is available.
You should just drop everything, people. Just drop everything and watch that movie.
Dog categories.
Yep.
Arrival. Was that your number one film of last year?
Was it mine too?
I think it might have been.
Was it?
I think we had the same number one again.
Did we?
There's no way of knowing. Anyway, no it's way. Great. If you haven't seen Arrival, go see it. Go rent it or buy it or whatever now and watch it.
Sit at home and watch it.
Hey, what'd you watch? Hey, we watched something. Both of us.
Hey, we did.
Kind of.
Wait, we did? Come on.
Well, we definitely both started watching a movie.
There you go.
Muppets Most Wanted. I missed that when it came out a couple years ago.
You did miss it, and I made sure to see it. And I didn't remember every detail, but I remember being like, I think once again... I guess I accidentally do this on rare occasion, get a little too hyped. And it was that was one of those where I was like, oh, all right. But then we watched it. And I got to say, for the moments that I saw and for the moments that I was able to stay awake.
Let me point out, Jeff fell asleep about
I think maybe halfway.
About halfway, yeah.
I think it's leaning towards halfway.
The last 20 to 25 minutes you were definitely out for, and apparently you're out for some before that, too.
I might have been out before that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I got my reasons.
Oh, I know.
Right
oh, I know. I'm okay, not blaming okay. you. I'm not blaming. It's not like you. You don't usually fall asleep in the movies.
The beginning of this movie with the sequel song is just fantastic. It is exactly what you want. It is as good, perhaps, a hair below the Muppet, the Great Muppet Caper, where that has just a flawless beginning as well. There's some good stuff. Ricky Gervais is pretty funny in it.
He's pretty funny. Yeah, it's good. It's fine. It's fine. Tina Fey's really funny. Yeah, I would have guessed.
It's the most acting she's ever done.
I don't think that's true.
What are you giving it?
I like a B or a B plus probably. I don't know.
Ooh, a B plus. I think it might be a movie BS. What do we call that again?
BS approved.
BS approved. It might be.
Maybe.
Because I think I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm glad I saw it.
All right. Well, just make sure it gets on the list.
Yeah, all right.
It's very, very important. That's all very
right.
official.
All
people,
right.
people live and die by that list.
I hope not.
Well, person.
I hope no one has died by it. If people live for the list, I guess that's all right.
Remember when we had people make like movie BS signs and put them around their
propaganda
state,
and stuff? Yeah,
and somebody like looked like they shot themselves in a bathroom.
Someone made some propaganda because I said, quote unquote, jokingly, to promote our show, you should murder someone and then write the name of the show with their blood on the wall. And so someone I assume it was Photoshop, sent us a picture of like somebody dead in the bathroom and blood everywhere, and they scrawled "Movie BS Baron Snyder" on the wall. I hope that was not a real crime scene.
Well, I mean, if it was for a good cause.
Yeah, and I'm sure the guy had it coming.
Oh, I don't know about that. I just meant us. We were the cause.
A little bit of housekeeping. We got an email. I keep forgetting to mention this. This is good. A listener named Tyler wrote to us, and he said, "The wife and I guess he means his wife. The wife and I didn't know what to watch, so I pulled up your top 10 list, and we ended up watching Sing Street. Great movie. The music is actually good, and the comedy felt organic. Thanks for the tip." Well, you're welcome, Tyler and the wife. There you go. See, we're doing some good in the world. Hey, you know what? This next week, it's your last week to catch up with all the Oscar movies, like Arrival. Arrival's nominated for some Oscars. Go rent that and watch it and catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Oscars happen next Sunday, the 26th. That sounds right. 26th.
Yeah.
But so we do Oscar bowling.
We do Oscar bowling. This is how you do it. It's quite simple. The concept is there's 300 available points. Why are there 300 available points? Well, because there's 24 categories. Mm-hmm. And I figured out that if you do a confidence pool, as in I'm going to pick all the winners and then I'm going to rank them. Which one am I most confident with? I'm going to give that 24 points.
Right.
Second most, 23 points. The least confident, 1 point.
Right.
You do that whole thing, and then when you're watching the Oscars, you're like, ooh, I just got 17 points for Best Supporting Actress. Ooh, I just missed 10 points for Best Editing. And then you get a score at the end.
Right. And I used to feel like that was a more complicated explanation. They made it sound more confusing than it is.
Sure.
Yeah. Which I know that's a feature, not a bug. I get that. So all you got to do, you make your guesses for what's going to win each of the categories, and then you rank your guesses according to how confident you are. Yeah, and 24 points for the most confident, down to 1 for the one that you're just totally blindly guessing on, which is usually one of the short film categories.
And there you go. And then you have your list, and then you can play along it with us at home.
Mm-hmm.
And even though people have beaten me before, I like to say that I've never been beaten.
That's true, because
at Oscar bowling.
Because you don't remember it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember that first time when my wife beat both of us.
I remember that too.
And
your wife,
she filled it out.
Had literally never seen a movie before.
Never.
And she beat us both. So it's a game of skill, Oscar bowling, as you can tell. So
yes,
we'll have our picks and our final scores. And feel free to play along with us. And we do have explanations for how to play it on – we actually have it on our website, don't we, on moviebs.com?
We do. If you go to moviebs.com and then
it's
you
right
look
up there,
at
yeah.
our other stuff.
Our other stuff.
Then it'll say Oscar bowling, and you'll click on it, and then you'll read.
And so that brings us to the end of another scintillating edition of Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. What did we learn today?
I'll tell you what we learned. Fist fight. It's not bad.
It's all right.
Yeah. All right. You're gonna get some laughs.
Yeah. Watching it, I did think, oh, this would be a good dollar Redbox rental.
You like thinking about that, even though I bet you never do that.
No, I don't. Redbox doesn't have anything I need. I don't think they ever have. I mean, when I rent a movie, it's usually something. I think they just have like the blockbusters, right? Like the current big stuff, right?
Nah, I bet Redbox has some like John Cusack straight to DVD that you've never heard of.
Yeah, but I don't need to watch that either.
No, nobody does.
Nothing against Redbox. I just don't have a need for it. But if you're one of the like bumpkins who does use it.
if you go to the grocery store Hy-Vee.
Uh-huh. So there's no reason to be snotty about Redbox. In fact, I'm not snotty. There's no reason to be snotty about Redbox. It's a perfectly adequate service.
Name a grocery store that you know from growing up. Mine would be either Eagles, Jewel, or Hy-Vee.
Like what kind of? Are we going for like the ghetto grocery store?
No, what would you go to? Like what was it? What was the thing? What was your growing up grocery stores?
Either Vons or Stater Brothers.
Stater?
Stater, S-T-A-T-E-R, Stater Bros.
Oh, okay.
I assume it's a California chain. And actually, in Lake Elsinore, that was the only grocery store we had when I was very young. And then Vaughn's came along later.
Don't forget, I was a big fan of Ralph's.
Yeah, we saw commercials for Ralph's, but we didn't have a Ralph's in my immediate area. It's weird to see commercials all the time for a grocery store that you've never been to. There's a place called Ralph's around here in the Los Angeles area.
Why have we never driven to this place? Not like Elsinore.
Yeah. All
right. Anyway.
What
else did we?
Cure for Wellness. I liked a queer for Wellness. Ooh. I liked a Cure for Wellness. It's effectively creepy and unsettling, but possibly too much so for some viewers. And so that's it. So until next week for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.